Well, it's good to be back. Have your Bibles. Let's turn together to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. And we'll turn there together. And if you're visiting with us this morning, it's certainly good to have you with us today. We want you to feel welcome. Psalm 107. And we'll begin here at the first verse. Notice what the Bible says here. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord so say, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Let's go on down to verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We pray, dear Lord, this time that You would speak to our hearts, knowing, dear God, that nothing that I could say will help or encourage or do anything. But, dear God, it's Your Word that encourages and strengthens us. And we ask, dear Lord, that You would speak to us from heaven with Your Word. And You'd enlighten us, dear Lord. And we give You the glory and the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, this psalm begins by telling us that we should give thanks unto the Lord. And it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. And He's going to give us three reasons why we should give thanks to the Lord. But what is the first reason that we should give thanks to the Lord? Notice, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. You know, we could end the whole service right there. For He is good. You know, this morning, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your last name is. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter how wicked you have lived or how terrible you have done, the things you've committed. God has been good to you. God is good to everybody. God treats people good. God's been good to me, and God has been good to you. And here the Bible tells us that, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Now, one thing that we are commanded here to do is we are to be a people that are always giving thanks unto the Lord, being grateful and being giving God glory for His goodness. He is so good to us. Now, a sign of the end times, a sign of a wicked and perverse people is this: they are unthankful. And we live in a time where people are unthankful and ungrateful, where you do things for folks and they expect it. They feel like they deserve it. And we live in a generation where people are very ungrateful. In fact, if I go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is going to start, he's going to tell us that is a sign of the end times. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Listen to what it says here. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now here is a definition of perilous times. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Would you say that men are lovers of their own selves right now? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. You notice one of those listings was that they are unthankful. They are unthankful. We live in a generation of people that are absolutely unthankful. How easily do you and I forget how good God is to us? You know, we want to buy a house. And we pray and ask God to help us buy this house. And once we get this house, we're so thankful. But as years go by, do we still thank God for a house? You know, we want to get a car and we ask God to help us get this car. And as we buy the car, as years go by, are we still thankful for our car? We have kids and we ask God to help us have healthy kids and our kids are born. And as years go by, are we still thankful for our kids? What about our jobs? We want jobs and we ask God to help us get this job or get that job. And when we get that job, as the years go by, do we still thank God for those jobs? See, at first, I think you and I are all this. We are thankful at first. And we're grateful for the things God gives us. But as time goes on, I think we become guilty of the fact that we forget to be thankful. And we get used and we become unthankful. And we almost act like we expect those things. But the reason that we have everything that we have is because God is so good to us. Now, I want to remind everybody this morning of what the book of James says. James chapter 1 and verse 17. James chapter 1, verse 17. Listen to what James says. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You notice the Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Every good thing that has ever happened to you in your life, and I mean every good thing that's ever happened to you, you did not get it, you did not earn it. Every good thing that's ever happened to you came to you because God gave it to you. The source of all good things in your life comes from one place. That is from the Lord. The Lord is the one that gives all good gifts. Now, there's people in this life that all they do is complain. And they always find something wrong with other things. And when you murmur and complain, and you're always finding fault and finding things that are wrong in life, what you are essentially saying is this: God has not been good to you. And really, when you complain and murmuring, what you're essentially doing, you may not mean to do this, but you're calling God a liar. Because the Bible says that God is good. And when you complain and murmur, you're saying, God has not been good to me. And that's a dangerous thing to do. And I tell you what, church, I think sometimes we give in to complaining and murmuring way too easy. We have a bad day, we don't feel good, we start complaining and murmuring. And I want you to know something, complaining and murmuring is very, very offensive to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:10 says this: neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Do you know the Bible says that we are not to murmur? That's a command. That's not a suggestion. That is a command from God that you and I are not allowed to murmur. You want even stronger language? Look with me in Philippians chapter 2. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. And look what it says here. Philippians 2 verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Notice, first of all, that your salvation is your salvation, and my salvation is my salvation. And I've got a responsibility to work out my salvation with the Lord. And you've got to work out your salvation with the Lord. And it's to be done how? With fear and trembling. That means it's to be done with the utmost seriousness. And then he says this in verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Then what's next? What's that punctuation next? But then what's it say? That ye may be the blameless and harmless sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. You understand what it's saying there? When you do things murmuring and with disputings. You're not blameless, and you're not harmless, and you do not resemble the sons of God without rebuke. You no longer look like you're one of His. You look like you're one of the world's. That's how dangerous and deplorable murmuring and complaining is. It makes us look like anything but one of God's people. And how easy I give in to murmuring. I don't know how y'all are, but I know how easy I give into it. And I know how quickly I can complain. I know how easy it is for me to look at any kind of problem and just throw my hands up and start griping and whining. I know how I am. When I go back here to Psalm 107, and the Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." How abundantly good has God been to us? Now, when we start thinking about how God has been so good to us, you know, God promised us He would provide our needs. There's a song Denise sings, and it's a song about over there. It's the off of in Matthew there about how God takes care of the birds of the field. He provides for them. He'll provide for you. God promised He'd provide for all of us, didn't He? He promised us that. How many of us can say that God has done more than provide for us? You know, after church, I want to be hungry. And I'm going to get to eat something, Lord willing. But I don't have to eat just anything. I'm not going to have to go eat kale after church. Because that's all I have. Do you know why I don't have to eat kale? Besides the fact it's nasty. Honestly, because God has been good to me. And I've got other things I can eat. See, God could just give me what I have to be sustained. But God's been so good to all of us here that we don't not just have food to eat, but God lets us pick what we want to eat. We get to eat some really good things. And we go to a restaurant. If you can go to a restaurant and afford to sit down at a restaurant, you get to pick what you want to eat. How good is that? Now, do you ever realize how good God is that we don't just get to eat, but we get to eat what we want to eat? You know, you look at your clothes. We don't wear rags, do we? God lets us get nice clothes. He gives us nice things to wear. That's how good God is. You look at our homes. We have nice homes. Now, you may think, well, you don't have a mansion. Well, let me tell you about your home. Almost all of us in this room, our homes, if it gets cold, how do we get it warm? Turn a little dial. Or, if you have wood heat, you know, it's a little hard for you, but what if you get hot? How do you cool your house down? You see, God is so good to us that we have cooled houses. And if that's not enough, we all have cars. God is so good to us that we have cars to drive. We don't ride horses to church or to work. We have cars. And in our cars, it's heated and cooled. And we're so spoiled. How many of us have heated and cooled seats in our cars? Right? Think about how good has God been to us. Let me ask you another question. Brother Paul, you're moving, aren't you? It's a nightmare, isn't it? Why is moving a nightmare? Because God has given us so much stuff. We are so blessed. You see how good God has been to us? If you had to move today, what a nightmare would it be for you? What kind of nightmare? How many U-Haul trucks would it take for you if you had to move? You think about it. How many trucks would it take? How much agonizing labor would it be to move all your junk to some other house? Because God has been that good to you. You see how good God is to us? That's the God that we serve. Now let me ask you this question. How little time do we devote every day to thanking God? You know, when we pray, how much time do we spend just thanking God for His direct goodness to us? That God has not forgotten me. He's not forgotten you. But He's been good to us. He has been merciful to us and blessed us. And when we ask for things, He takes care of us. How good has God been to you? And how good has He been to me? And by the way, church, any time that you feel like God has not been good to you, that's the devil lying to you. He is lying to you to tell you that. That is not true. God has been good to you. Do you know why the church isn't full of people today? Especially Christian people. It's because we have forgotten how good God is to us. If God's people would remember how good He is to us, this place ought to be full of people. The choir ought to be full of people singing. We ought to be singing so loud they can hear us down the street. The houses all around us ought to be hearing us singing praises to God. But we have forgotten how good God is to us. We don't remember. We don't know how God... That is the problem. I think the biggest revival would sweep across our country if we would just see how good God is. And what does the Bible say? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. But we won't do it. We have forgotten how good the Lord is. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. What does the Bible say? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. The Bible says this. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And I'm ashamed to say, how little time do I thank God? And how little time do we thank God for all that He has done for us? Let me take a little tour through the Bible here. Let's look at how good God is. Let's look at Psalm 25 and verse 8. Let's take a quick little tour. Psalm 25 and verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way. Psalm 31 verse 19. Oh, how great is Thy goodness, which Thou hast laid up for them that fear Thee, which Thou hast wrought for them that trust in Thee before the sons of men. Psalm 52, verse 9. How great is His name? Psalm 52, verse 9. I will praise Thee forever, because Thou hast done it, and I will wait on Thy name, for it is good before Thy saints. Psalm 54, 6. I will freely sacrifice unto Thee. I will praise Thy name, O Lord, for it is good. God's house is good. Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom Thou choosest and causest to approach unto Thee, that he may dwell in Thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of Thy house, even of Thy holy temple. God's goodness to us is seen in Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Keep on going. Notice how God is good to us in Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalm 85, verse 12. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Oh, I love Psalm 86, verse 5. For Thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee. Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth unto all generations. Notice mercy and goodness are tied together in that verse. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Again, what's tied together with His goodness? His mercy. Psalm 118, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. So, verse 29, same chapter. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let's look at Psalm 135, verse 3. I'm sorry, let's look at 119, verse 68. I love this one. 119, verse 68. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me Thy statutes. 135, verse 3. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. Psalm 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. 143, verse 10. Teach me to do Thy will, for Thou art my God. Thy Spirit is good. Lead me to the land of uprightness. Psalm 145, verse 7. They shall abundantly utter the memory of Thy great goodness and shall sing of Thy righteousness. Verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. So you notice how good in Psalms there. We just looked at Psalms. How good God is. Over and over again, the Bible is telling us how good the Lord is. You don't have to turn here, but I'm just going to read to you a passage. John chapter 10, verse 11. What does the Bible, what does Jesus say about Himself? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know of my sheep and have known of mine. In 3 John, verse 11, listen to what it says here. 3 John, verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Does anyone know the fruit of the Spirit? What the fruit of the Spirit are? What are the fruit of the Spirit? Has anyone got those memorized? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 tells us what they are. I want you to listen to what the fruit of the Spirit are. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. What's next? Goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9 says this. Ephesians 5, 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. You see, God's goodness is just passed and poured out into us when you become one of God's people. You see how good God is? And one thing that God has commanded us to do in all this is we are to be thankful and to praise Him. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And you and I should be people that are always, always thanking God. During the day, we should be thanking God. And every time our mind wanders onto how good God is, we should just thank Him. And every time we see something that God's done for us, we should thank Him. And all day long, just thank God, praise God, give Him glory. Always be giving God. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. But also says here, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Now, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here as I'm winding down, but I just want to mention this. What is mercy? We talk about what is mercy again. What does it mean to get mercy? If someone gives you mercy, what are they giving you? They're not giving you what you deserve. You deserve something else, but you're not getting what you deserve. That's what mercy is. Notice, God does not give us what we deserve. You and I have all sinned, and we've done terrible things. We've done awful things. And if we're honest, if you and I will just be honest about the things we've done in our life, we would not want the world to know what we've done. And there isn't one of us that would want this church to know all the things that we've done, do we? And we don't want this church to know all the things that we thought. We are sinful and wicked. But God is merciful. God, who knows everything about us, who knows all of our deeds, doesn't give us what we deserve. He is plenteous in mercy. He is so good to us. That's why it says here, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." You know, another psalm that ties in with this that I love so much, Psalm 103. Listen to what Psalm 103 says, verse 1. Psalm 103, verse 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with," now listen to what God crowns you with, "loving kindness and tender mercies." Now, I don't believe I can ever state this enough. I know I've preached this a lot, but I want to remind the church, how is God's kindness to you? It is loving kindness. God's kindness is full of love. And notice, His mercy oftentimes is tender. It's tender mercies, is how it's described. Loving kindness and tender mercies. "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like eagles." Then you go on down to verse 10, it says this, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and those that remember His commandments to do them." Do you see, church, when you think about how merciful God is, and He's forgiven your sins, that ought to make you be full of joy and happiness. That ought to make you shout. That ought to make you want to just praise God and give Him glory all the time. To think that God has forgiven your sins and not treated you and given you what you deserve. What do we deserve, church? We deserve hell, don't we? We deserve the wrath of God. We don't deserve any of His goodness. But yet God is good to us. He's so good to us. He doesn't give us what we deserve. He blesses us. All the things that you and I have, He's given us. We don't deserve any of that. We deserve His anger and His wrath. Yet He's still good to us. You know, there's people today, they will look at a tragedy in this world. They'll look at an earthquake or a hurricane, and they'll say, "Where's God in all that?" And they'll say, "There's no God out there. Look at all this trouble." And those very same people will get in their nice car that God gave them, and they'll go to their nice home that God gave them, and they'll cast all their hatred towards God, and they'll eat their nice food that the Lord gave them. Never thankful, but God is so good to us, and He's blessed us in so many ways. God's been good to you, church. Friend, God has been good to you. How many times has God helped you in your troubles? Now, tonight I want to preach more on this chapter, and I'm going to look more on how God has helped us in our troubles, in our trials. But I want to finish up tonight, this morning, I want to finish up lastly what it says here, verse 107. Notice what it says here in verse 2. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Who are the redeemed? What does it mean to be redeemed? means be purchased, who hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. Here the Bible's talking about those he has saved. You know, the Bible's letting you know that if you're saved this morning, God bought you. You're redeemed. You were bought with a price. In fact, I just want to read that verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. Let me read that real quick. 1 Corinthians 6, 20. The Bible simply says this, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You know, the Lord paid a great price for you, a great price for you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 says this, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." The Bible reminds us what price God paid for your sins. He paid the highest price. His Son died on the cross for your sins. No higher price could be paid for you. That's the price that was paid. I tell you, brother, sister, where would you be today if the Lord hadn't saved you? What kind of life would you have right now if the Lord hadn't delivered you from the sins you were in? How grateful are you? Where would you be right now? What kind of family would you have? What kind of life would you be living if God hadn't reached down to that miry pit and pulled you out? Over in Psalm 40, and this is the last thing I'm going to read this morning, Psalm 40, verse 1, the Bible says this, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." So what has God called us all to do this morning? Well, we've got one thing we ought to be doing. We ought to be giving God glory and thanking Him all the time for how good He is to us. I ask you, church, when's the last time that you just prayed? Didn't ask God for anything, but you just thanked Him for how good He's been to you. Let's stand together.